1989. July 1st, 1989. The studio over the garage with its hidden darkroom had not been opened since David moved out 7 years ago. But now that the house was going up for sale, Nora had no choice but to face it. David's work was in favor again, worth quite a lot of money. Curators were coming tomorrow to view the collection. So Nora had been sitting on the painted floor since early morning, slicing through boxes with an X-Acto knife, lifting out folders full of photographs and negatives and notes, determined to remain detached, to be ruthless in this process of selection. It should not have taken long. David had been so meticulous, and everything was neatly labeled. A single day, she'd thought, no more. She hadn't counted on memory, the slow lure of the past. It was early afternoon already, growing hot, and she had only made it through one box. A fan whirred in the window, and a fine sweat gathered on her skin. The glossy photos stuck to her fingertips. They seemed at once so near and so impossible, those years of her youth. There she was with a scarf tied gaily in her carefully styled hair, Bree beside her in sweeping earrings, a flowing patchwork skirt. And here was a rare photo of David, so serious, with a crew cut, Paul just an infant in his arms. Memories rushed up, too, filling the room, holding Nora in place. The scents of lilacs and ozone and Paul's infant skin. David's touch, the clearing of his throat. The sunlight of a lost afternoon moving in patterns on the wooden floors. What had it meant, Nora asked herself, that they had lived these moments in this particular way? What did it mean that the photos did not fit at all with the woman she remembered being? If she looked closely, she could see it. The distance and longing in her gaze, the way she always seemed to be looking just beyond the photo's edge. But a stranger wouldn't notice. Paul wouldn't. From these images alone, no one could suspect the intricate mysteries of her heart. A wasp roamed and floated near the ceiling. Each year they returned and built a nest somewhere in the eaves. Now that Paul was grown, Nora had given up worrying about them. She stood and stretched and got a Coke from the refrigerator where David had once stored chemicals and slender packages of film. She drank it, gazing out the window at the wild irises and honeysuckle in the backyard. Nora had always meant to make something of it, do more than hang bird feeders from the honeysuckle branches. But in all these years, she hadn't, and now she never would. In 2 months, she would marry Frederick and leave this place forever. He had been transferred to France. Twice the transfer had fallen through, and they had talked of moving in together in Lexington, selling both their places and starting fresh. Something brand new, a place where no one else had ever lived. Their talk was idle, languorous, conversations that bloomed over their dinners together or while they lay together in the dusk, glasses of wine on the bedside tables, the moon a pale disk in the window above the trees. Lexington, France, Taiwan, it didn't matter to Nora, who felt she had already discovered another country with Frederick. Sometimes at night, she closed her eyes and lay awake, listening to his steady breathing, filled with a deep sense of contentment. It pained her to realize how far she and David had drifted away from love. His fault, certainly, but hers too. She had held herself so close and tight. She had been so afraid of everything after Phoebe died. But those years were gone now. They had flowed away, leaving nothing but memory behind. So France was fine. When the news came that the posting was just outside of Paris, she was glad. They had already rented a little cottage at the edge of the river in Châteauneuf. Frederick was there at this very moment, putting in a greenhouse for his orchids. Even now, it filled Nora's imagination. The smooth red tiles of the patio, the slight river breeze in the birch tree by the door, and the way the sunlight fell on Frederick's shoulders, his arms, as he worked to frame the walls of glass. She could walk to the train station and be in Paris in 2 hours, or she could walk to the village and buy fresh cheese and bread and dark, gleaming bottles of wine, her cloth tote bags growing heavier with each stop. She could sauté onions, pausing to look up at the river moving slowly beyond the fence. On the patio in the evening she'd spent there, the moonflowers had opened with their lemony fragrance, and she and Frederick sat drinking wine and talking. Such simple things, really. Such happiness.